Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities. Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. The NGH is replaying on our podcast a continuing education roundtable featuring Don Motton, Erica Flint, Debbie Livingston, Dr. William Horton, and hosted by Jeremy Basham.
Welcome, everybody. Tonight's the July continuing education series. Every month, the NGH provides continuing education for our members. Tonight's program brings together four members and presenters in a roundtable discussion about this year's annual convention being held in Marlborough, Massachusetts, August 9th, 10th, and 11th. We thought it was fitting to feature this in our continuing education series, as what the annual convention is all about is education. Please welcome our guests, NGH Vice President, Certified Master Instructor, Order of Braid recipient, Don Motton, four-time best-selling author and board-certified hypnotist and Order of Braid recipient, Erica Flint, board-certified hypnotist, certified instructor, and Order of Braid recipient, Debbie Livingston, and licensed psychologist, leading NLP trainer, Order of Braid recipient, Dr. Will Horton. Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, how are you all?
Excellent. So we're all getting excited about this year's annual convention coming up in just four short weeks away.
Oh, yeah.
So would anybody like to start off on sharing what they'll be teaching or what they'll be presenting at this year's conference? Anyway. Why don't we start with you, Don?
Alrighty, we can do that. We've got a couple of different things on our pre-conference. We have our train the trainers. We have our members who've been in practice a year or two to become a certified instructor with the Guild. So that's 5 days prior to the convention. It's always nice to see someone coming in, and by the end of the class, then they follow it with the convention. I've had people over here say, that's the best 8 days of my entire life. So yeah, that's kind of exciting.
Perfect. Same. And Don, you have other courses that you're going to be teaching during the actual convention as well, correct?
Yes. One of them is going to be a two-hour program. It's called Post-Hypnotic Suggestions That Always Work. So often I have people, I tried this and it didn't work out. And one of the ones I hear all the time, I told him if he has an urge for a cigarette, rub his thumb and index finger together, and as you do, it'll disappear. And so I still have the urge. It didn't work. And what are they going to do? They're going to smoke, and who are they going to blame? Blame you as a hypnotist? So we try to set it up where we can't fail. We had the same scenario. If you have an urge for a cigarette, rub your thumb and index finger together, and as you do, you'll remember why you wanted to be a non-smoker. Oh, okay, we're sure that's going to work. So post-hypnotic suggestions, that's our success. We want to make sure we word them in a way where the client's always successful.
And Erica. Well, yeah. I forgot to mention, let us know, you know, where about you and where you're coming from.
Well, I'm coming from Bellingham, Washington right now. We're having record-setting heat here in Seattle. Very like 85 yesterday. So it's gorgeous. And I just have to say how excited I am. You know, it's like we go all year, it feels like, and it's super fun, and then go back to work and apply everything. And then we start talking about the convention again, and I start recognizing like, oh my gosh, we're going to Marlboro, we're going to see everybody, and there's going to be so much excitement. And that's really what I love about this, because I always leave with so many ideas. It feels like it fuels my practice for like the next 6 months or so, because I want to try this idea and I'm writing this email. And like, so Thank you for gathering us a little bit early here for me to just kind of get in the zone, right? Of really how powerful it is. I'm teaching three. I'm teaching on three talks this year. One is the Alpha Sequence Group Method, and the reason that I like this group method is it brings a bunch of people together for goodness. All right. I mean, we all know that the powers, the evil and good, are kind of we're questioning what's going on here. And there's so many people in the world that want to come together for something good, and it doesn't have to be religion, right? We can come together just to quiet our mind and gather in a sense of hope and goodness. So that's what the Alpha Sequence Group Method is. It's really not learn hypnosis. It's really learn how to quiet your mind and get back to your sense of self. So it's a community-based program for you to give service basically to your community. And of course, some of them are going to turn around and want to be your private client. Also, teaching on reprogram your weight. There's all sorts of weight loss programs out there now. There's diet pills, Ozempic, semaglutide. People are having fantastic results. People are having terrible side effects. And so, the cool thing about Ozempic to me is that people are recognizing the value of quieting food noise. And food noise is a huge problem. People are thinking about food all day long, is increasing their appetite, and now they're eating more. Well, guess what? We have had a tool for many, many years called hypnosis to specifically get rid of the thinking mind's attachment to that food. And so now, with some simple tools, we can truly help people who might have experienced the value of something like Ozempic, because one of the reporting elements of that is you're just not thinking about food all the time. And you just have peace of mind. You can go focus on other things. Well, hello. Again, we've been doing that with hypnosis for quite some time. So let's give people this skill, and they don't have to take any pills, right? And then I'm also teaching on hypnosis for self-actualization. So, and this came about because, clients come to us to lose weight, to stop smoking, to sleep better. But then once they open up their own mind and they get attached to their own source of power, well, what else can I do with hypnosis, right? So self-actualization is like, well, now how can I take hypnosis and apply it to this and to that and kind of be all that I can be, almost like religion without the religion, right? And it's really getting us to point back to ourselves and do our inner work and that type of a thing. So a lot of what I'm teaching this year has to do with community and a sense of goodness and peace. And it feels like it's maybe hopefully balancing out some of the other things that I'm continually bombarded with. And so, just like on a personal note, I am really careful with what I'm consuming these days. I'm really careful with what I'm eating, but also what I'm watching and listening to, because there's just so much kind of a lot of negativity, but a lot of fear mongering, and just a lot of ways that we can help people is really what it means, right? So, such an honor to be here. Such an honor to go to this convention where so many like-minded hearts and minds and love of humanity and goodness come together. We get to come together for good, right? So that's really what I love about this. It almost feels like the good gets amplified and we all leave with a real sense of purpose and determination once again. So that's my goal, at least.
Awesome. Awesome. You know,
Very
it
cool.
reminds me of what Dr. Damon says every year. It's almost it's a family reunion when we get together at the convention. I've met so many people over the years, and one of the people I met years ago, she caught me at the bookstore when I was very young, and then the next person up that I'd like to introduce is Debbie Livingston.
And it was friendship ever since. That friendship was
Friendship
born
and love,
when.
yes.
Exactly. Very much so. I know this is a real family. These are real people here at the NGH. So I really appreciated that. Thank you, Erica. You're just a bright light of just wonderful energy too. It's really nice to have just to see you and hear you. As with Don Mottin and Will Horton as well, I get so excited for the conference every year. And like Erica was saying, it really is a reunion. And when I first started attending the conference back in the 90s, I was starstruck because before I started going to the conference live, I was renting all the videotapes from all the previous conferences and all the classes. So I had been seeing everybody. So when I went there live, I was like, oh my God, there's all the, Don Mott and all these people that I was had been studying. So I was blown away by the approachability of all these people. I was so starstruck by that, how open and friendly everybody was. I believe our conference is tagged as the friendliest hypnosis conference, and I think that's the true fact. The camaraderie is one thing. The information that people are going to receive at the conference goes beyond the classes that they attend, because you can have some of the most profound aha moments. I've been talking to somebody in the hallway outside the bookstore, or sitting with somebody at coffee in the morning who I've never met before. And they tell me what they're doing. I'm like, wow, I never thought of doing that before. So the information you receive, the friendships that you make are phenomenal. And I always make it a point to go to at least one or two classes of new presenters each year, because I love, number one, I just love supporting everybody. But no matter whom the presenter is, and it's not about who's the best presenter and who can teach really well, it's about the information that they share. And not all the presenters are teachers, but they're really, really good at what they do with hypnosis. So I have never been to a class that I could not take something home and either work it into my practice or my personal life immediately. I've never been in a class that I couldn't use something right away. So whether it's for your practice, whether it's for tidbits for yourself, whether it's for just healthier living, community, as Erica said, the conference is the greatest way that I know of to really do that. And I happen to be teaching some classes as well. If I could share that,
Absolutely.
I'll be teaching four classes this year, which I'm really excited about. On Friday, I'm doing two classes. The first one is the top three mistakes many hypnotists make that keep them struggling to attract clients and make money. This is the beginning of the coaching program that I have for other hypnotists, because I help people get their businesses up and running after they become hypnotists, because most of them are just healers. They want to heal. They don't know anything about running a business. And I've had the opportunity of having a big box training school as well as a small little boutique. And I know how to help people get up and running on both ends. So this is a class to kind of show you the mistakes that you might be making and how to avoid them, top three mistakes. And that segues into the next class I'm teaching on Friday, which is the art of conscious manifestation. Learn a powerful technique to call in your ideal clients. So if I can use the expression for a little bit, this is a little bit of a woo class, because I am deep dive in the metaphysics. I got my start in the metaphysical training before I became a hypnotist. So I've been diving in the metaphysics for 45 years, and that is not an exaggeration. And this is a technique that I've been using for many, many years. When I was ran a church, I was running a church for many years. This is how we'd call in people to come to our services. It's a technique that I use, that I bought a new house this year, the exact dream house that I've always wanted. I bought a new car this year. I have a new office now that I'm seeing clients at here in Maine, all by doing this technique. So I'm doing that on Friday. And then on Saturday, I'm teaching what I think I'm known for pretty well, is the affect bridge emotional regression technique. I'm teaching that on Saturday. It's a 2-day, 2-hour class. A 2-day class. You're never going to leave me. 2-hour class. And I'll be doing a live demonstration. And the affect bridge, for those of you that don't know, it is an emotionally based regression technique. So it's going to bring up the uncomfortable feelings our clients have that keep them blocked from moving forward with something, because who wants to move forward if it feels, if it doesn't feel good? Bringing up those uncomfortable feelings and bridging them back with regression to the very first time, hopefully, those feelings are ever imprinted in the subconscious mind. And I just want to say that I'm getting a lot of newly certified hypnotists that are being told we are not supposed to practice regression anymore. I'm still practicing, I'm still teaching it, and it's a big part of the training that I offer. So if you're afraid of doing regression work, come to this class and at least find out why you don't have to be afraid of regression work. And so that's happening on Saturday, the Affect Bridge. And then Sunday, I'm offering a class I've never taught before, which I'm excited about. It's called Resourcing. I don't know if you can hear the sirens in the background. My ride's through, I gotta go. It's called Resourcing. And I actually learned this by Marilyn Gordon. I was certified officially by Marilyn back in the 90s in Oakland, California. And it's something I learned in her training. And it's a technique that we do before we even start the hypnosis process with our clients. It's going to get them to the core issue very quickly. And I'm offering that class on Sunday. So I'm excited. And for anybody listening that hasn't been to the conference before, you don't know what you're missing. Between the banquet night, the dancing, other these fabulous presenters that are here on the screen with me and everybody else, you owe it to yourself to get there.
Thank you, Debbie. The next gentleman in line to talk is Dr. Will Horton. Hello, Will.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing excellent.
All right. Well, Whenever I think about this, I'm reminded of my maturity. I think this will be my very first conference was the first year you were in Nashua, New Hampshire. So I think that was three. So I've been to every one since you rebooted the conference. So it's my 35th consecutive year, one way, shape, or another. And I keep going back for a few reasons. Number one is it's like was said, it's a community, people share, but also the NGH as an organization actually tries to promote the profession, tries to get information, keeps us abreast of laws. They let me know a few years ago something was going on in Florida. So I met with some people. I mean, they're the only organization that really does that. And if you like your profession, you need to be involved in a group that will help you because you don't know what laws are pending. But so there's that. But I've made friends over the years. It's taken me to places I never thought I would go. Met people, a lot of people over the years. And I always say the first year I went, though, I didn't go for any other reason than I wanted to do the firewalk. Right, because I just missed the Tony Robbins firewalk and I met Tony, so I was going to go, but I missed it. So I saw this. I'd been a member of the guild for a couple of years, so I saw the flyer. So I went out there to do the firewalk, and then I go, I'll stay for the weekend. And much like meeting my wife, when she walked by, and I said, "Ooh, that's a pretty woman," it's been going on for 30 something years there too, and. So, but I share with people and I've learned so much. And like Debbie said too, last year at the Guild, I went to two talks on NLP by people that were rather new in the profession. And they were talking about basics of NLP. And I'm always blown away with where people are taking the stuff that we know how to do in different directions, And so that's why I love going there. And like I said, I've met friends. I go everywhere. I like where the conference is held, especially they built that area up. There's restaurants, there's health clubs, there's all kinds of stuff to do within walking distance if you get to the hotel. So there's that. And like Erica said, I never leave there without ideas that I can implement right away. From red, red, red. Sorry, Don, I had to throw that in. But anything like that, and I'm blessed this year. I get to do two bigger classes, a pre-class on hypnotic writing and over-the-top marketing, outrageous marketing. How to take our hypnosis skills into the written word, whether you're doing social media posts, emails, your marketing, even how you write your website. We'll be doing that. That's the day before the conference. And then afterwards, I get to do a two-day Essentials of NLP, which I'm revamping because I just recently started teaching something I thought I'd never teach again, which is behavioral profiling and deception analysis that I learned at the FBI in a prior life. And what they said I could teach. So I'm teaching this stuff and how it ties into what we do. So it's kind of, I'm restructuring a lot of the NLP, taking it to the next level. And so I can't stress enough why it's so important to go because you never, like I said, I'll close with. Like Debbie said, and Erica and Don, the people you meet, like just standing there getting a cup of coffee in the morning where everybody's getting coffee, or in the breakfast hall, or at the con, at the banquet. But I still remember just starting a casual conversation with someone at the NGH. 4 months later, I'm in Mumbai, India, teaching a seminar. And it's kind of boosted my career in a different direction. So, I've been blessed to be able to do that. And it's always fun. And I've known everybody. I remember when the illustrious leader here was a very young man, a wrestler, in fact, when I first met him, and he was working the booth.
Yeah.
Are the same booth I saw him at.
Well, sharing stories here, going to think back. My first convention might have been Will's first convention because I didn't go to the first two that were too far away in Danvers and New York. And I ended up doing the first one in Nashua. My first job, because I was a youngin', I think I started when I was 14 or 15 years old. And my first job was security. basically, they gave me a bunch of candy and soda and said, "Stay awake, kid." And I said, "No problem." So I stayed
Yeah,
awake.
you'd have to, you watch the booths because
I watched the
it
booths.
wasn't a locked room back in Nashua.
Yeah. Right. It was just a wide
Don
open.
Don remembers that. Yeah, so does Debbie. Yep. Yeah.
With all the knights in the hallway.
Yes. So I stayed awake all night, and that was my first job at the convention. And my job's changed a little bit over the years. And but I have such good memories of the early years. How about Sandy Jagendorf playing the piano in the lobby of the Sheraton, you know, and seeing Orman McGill and Charles Francis and, you know, some of those who are no longer with us, you know, just memories of so many great people over the years, and just a good time meeting new people and learning new things. And it's so cool because, like Will said, I was a wrestler at one time and then a wrestling coach. So I started using hypnosis with my wrestlers, getting them in the positive mind frame to compete. And but there's so many different things. I remember also being a little scared. I think it was A.L. Ward who was telling me about demon repossession when I was a teenager, and it frightened me a little bit.
Freddie Lydecker did that stuff too.
But there was, you know, there's so many different things. Like Debbie said, there's some things with metaphysical and there's spiritual. And then there's, you know, very clinical type things that happen at the convention. And you know, it's a great melting pot of different techniques, different attitudes, different personalities. But when we all come together, it's just such a good time. Does anybody else have any fun stories that they'd like to share?
I wanted to throw in too. It's like, and like, I know this panel, I've seen them do it and other people. I remember Jerry Kine, if you see him just standing there, when people go to the conference, it's probably the friendliest conference I've been to. And I go to a lot of conferences and everybody will share anything. If you walk up and ask them a question, you know, they'll share their, as I would say, experience, strength, and hope, and tell you how they did what they did. So that's how I'm here.
I just want to say too, because Will, what's the class that you're doing on the writing script for ads?
Hypnotic writing and just over the top marketing.
So years ago, when I first saw you present, it was at Solid Gold. And I don't know if I'd even gone to the Terra Hotel yet for the conference, but you spoke at Solid Gold. And I remember you saying that whatever town you moved into, you're going to take out the biggest ads in the newspapers. And it wasn't going to be a competition, but you would make sure that you were the hypnotist that was going to make the money in that town. And the way you said it was not in a competition way. It was just you were so certain and confident with your skills on advertising. I went, huh. And I started advertising more boldly after that. So I want to thank you for that one. And that was some solid gold years ago.
Grandma dunks 45 painful pounds.
All right. Well, I'll throw out a question there. When you attend the convention, can you learn new techniques or refresh ones? And well, you elaborated on this kind of refreshing idea, learning new ideas of the same subject that you had, you know, learned years, or you've been doing for years. You find a new perspective. Do you find that a lot? Are any of you?
Yeah, we have a class coming up we're doing on confidence. And needless to say, the students have been to other people for confidence, but it's a different spin. And I always encourage people, if they said, I already took something on this topic, the next presenter is going to have a different spin on it. And this is where I think people get really excited about, I'm leaving, I'm going to have something to do. Several of you mentioned that this is a friendly conference. My first one, not the NGH, an evil one on the West Coast. I'm 26 years old. You know, I'm young and dumb and from Missouri. And this guy who was a legend in his own mind, I stopped and I said, I was in your class. I have a question. I don't talk to people one-on-one. Leave. And I felt like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, you know, clicking your heel together. I was like, oh, I want to go home. And I thought, oh my God. And then for those of you, since we've all been around, Ormond McGill, who really was a big shot. So I thought, well, this guy who was nothing, he yelled at me, you know, Ormond might kick me. And I said, Ormond, you don't know me. I'm Don Mott from St. Louis. Well, how the heck are you, young man? You know what? What's that? So we have to sit down and soda together. Wouldn't that be delightful? I'd like to do that. And, you know, I'm cardiac arrest. And then here's the big shot. But he's grounded. And that's what I see so much on MGH. As many of you said, oh, walked up and talked to so-and-so. So the knowledge, and also you develop friends that you'll have for the rest of your life.
I also, that's a great point. I also think that the quality of presenters that the NGH attracts for their conference is really good. I mean, yes. Without how to say this, there's, let's just use metaphysics as an example. You can get a lot of different ideas on what's correct and what isn't correct, which is really why I don't even advertise myself within the NGH as a person who does metaphysics, because you can, it opens up a cachet of a, you know, Pandora's box. But within the guild at the conferences, the people that are offering classes like that, there's a level of integrity that I have heard is not available at other conferences. And I'm not a person who goes to conference to conference. I really just sort of stay loyal to the NGH conferences. I don't know if that's good or bad. It's just the way I am. But I had a graduate attend a different conference who was used in a demonstration on this different technique that was combining different modalities, and left my graduate wide open. Oh, we got to go now. Class is over. And she had to call me up after the conference to get help to get back to whatever. That doesn't really happen at our conferences. I think that's what I'm trying to say, is that the integrity, the respect, and the awareness is so pristine, if that's the right word. It's crystal clear. I don't know how else to explain it, but there is a big difference between the NGH and other conferences. We are the flagship for the training and the education. I think that's really important for people to understand.
Yep. I agree.
Absolutely. So we do have a question here. Beverly from Arkansas, she would like to know how quickly one can get established when starting out in hypnotherapy. So starting out in the profession, how can you establish yourself?
It doesn't, I'll start, because me. it really depends on how motivated they are. Just because you have a certificate that says you're a hypnotist, people won't start knocking on your door or sending you an email unless they know you exist. So you do need to do things to get yourself visible, but there's not a lot of overhead that we have, which is what I think it makes it a real incredible modality to help people. You don't have to have this huge overhead. If you have a chair and a voice, that's really what you can get started with. So if you're motivated, you can see clients like starting the first week, and you can have a real valid business up and running within a year. That's been my personal experience.
Very good.
Yeah, that's my
I took the NGH training in the mid 80s, whatever it was. And on Saturday night, Elsom Eldridge did a hypnosis business in a box workshop that I still have right down there. Right. And it was literally, like was said, I was getting started as an alcohol and drug counselor, but I was getting into the hypnosis. And he laid it out and was said, he's very friendly. I called him up. And I think within 60 days, I had my first office. I started running ads. I started doing the stuff they laid out. And like Don teaches marketing, so does Erica, so does Debbie in different ways. You want to get your business started? You could take the whole weekend and just go to like business building and marketing and how to build your business in different ways, from speaking to all this other stuff. So you're only limited by your imagination.
There you go. I think one of the things I like for new people, especially, make sure they can teach self-hypnosis. I've had people, okay, don't have a lot of money for a big office, this, that, and the other. It's a good way to get your feet wet. Now that the old fat wrinkled one in Florida, if I was doing classes in every corner, there's a 55 plus community. And what they have in common, they have time. The second thing, there's already a facility there. We used to do our self-hypnosis class and we got karate studios to sponsor it. Why? They already have students. The students trust them. We're doing it on a percent base. But yeah, if you became a good instructor for self-hypnosis, you should never go hungry.
Excellent. And Beverly's following up. Debbie, is this conducting session in person or online?
Conducting the sessions that I offer? I do both. My COVID silver lining was I had to turn in the keys to my beautiful training center I had in Berkeley, California. I was out there for 45 years, but I moved my entire practice online during COVID and I did all my trainings online. I was able to relocate to my roots of New England. And now I'm seeing clients. I found a beautiful place. I was going to work in my home and I thought, I'm never going to leave my house and meet anybody. Bring people into the house. I'm never going to leave. So I found, I've been mentoring this woman who owns a massage center in Maine, in Biddeford. And she's gave me a sweet deal on a beautiful room that I have now. So that's a long version of the answer. Now it's half and half. I'm sorry.
There you go.
A little bit of both now.
Well, along those same lines, Elizabeth asks, what percentage of your clients are online? And this is an open question for anybody. What percentage would you say are virtual compared to in person?
Right, 100%.
Virtual or in person?
Virtual.
I'm about 80% now.
80% in
now that I have a session
virtual and 20% in person.
Now that I have a place here in Maine, yeah, 20% in person while I'm building that.
And Erica?
I'm about 50-50. So I still have an office here. I'm sitting in my blueberry right now, super comfy hypnosis chair. So still see people here in the office, but also love seeing people online. The convenience can't be beat, and there's just a lot of valid reasons to be able to serve our clients wherever they are at. I find that there's just some kind of strict guidelines that I want to have my clients stick with in order to make sure we can do really good work online. So, you know, like for example, not having family members walk in the room when they're doing hypnosis. And I just heard a story about this recently from a different hypnotist. And so there's definitely things that we can do to make sure that we can get amazing results when we're working with our clients online. But some of it has to do with setting it up properly and having some expectations for our clients in order to do that great work. Because if they're in your office, no random person's just going to walk in your door. You're going to have the door locked, right? So I just find that having some guidelines really, really makes that part of it go smoothly.
And Dawn, I believe in Las Vegas at Solid Gold Weekend, you mentioned 100% in person.
Yes. And that's because I'm old and I've just finally realized how to use a computer. But honestly, mine are that. And most of mine now, Jay, are classes, whether it's self-hypnosis. The other thing that I refuse to give up is corporate programs. Why they're easy to put together. I don't have a certain time. But when I did private clients only, I would do 10 or 11 a day. And so all of a sudden, I'm at the point I don't want to schedule anymore. I don't want, if I say, I'm not going to do anything on Wednesday. You know, I'm almost grown. I don't have to do it on Wednesday. So mine are pretty much classes and our corporate type programs.
Excellent. Let's see here. And you talked about networking at the convention. Is that helpful even if my practice is like in a rural type area?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
One thing that's beautiful about the conference that I've experienced is that there's not a whole lot of competition amongst the hypnotists. And so everybody's willing to share their information, no matter where you live.
Yeah. And I think one of the advantages of being rural, people are used to traveling further. If I'm in downtown St. Louis, yeah, there's a McDonald's on every corner, and I'm not used to it. But when you're in a rural area, people say, oh, I'm used to driving 30, 40 miles or whatever it is. So the clients, not as many to draw from, but they're used to traveling. So it opens up that radius a lot larger if you're in a rural area.
True. Very true.
Yeah, how I got to do my first stage hypnosis show, I got a call. It was a voicemail. Remember answering machines? And it said, like, hey, we'd like to know, do you do stage hypnosis shows?
Important.
And I'm listening. They go, but our budget is limited. It's only $1,000. This was like 1989, right? And I go, So I pick up the phone. I call Jerry Valley and the late Jerry Valley. And we talk. He goes, you're an actor, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, just get a script, learn it, do the show. So I called back up and it started I think I've done 500 shows over the years.
Yeah.
because I could call one of the leaders in the field who was, like was said, wasn't competition. It was like, well, this is how I do it. And he told me where to get the scripts, how to put it together. So, yeah. So that's why you want to network at these conferences.
Absolutely.
Now, I just wanted to let kind of everybody know about the convention registration and how we've changed things over the years. This year is really we implemented this last year and we got such great feedback with the one price all inclusive. So you get to attend all the seminars and workshops at the NGH convention for a one single registration fee. There's no additional cost for workshops during the 3-day conference. And also that includes the virtual replay, the online virtual replay. So that's such the coolest thing is you get access to everything during that 3-day conference. So when you're there in person, you know, you can only go to one of the 10 going on during the same time period. Usually we have about 10 classes going on during the same hour blocks. So you get to attend whatever you want to in person and then watch the replay on everything else during that hour that you may have missed. So there's so much information and content that you receive by registering. And we've also been asked if we're going to offer the replay to those who are not able to make it. And we are going to offer that to members who couldn't make it, but the registration fee covers that, is included in the so the virtual replay is included in your registration during the conference. So I just wanted to go over that because I don't know any other conference that offers that, where you actually get access to all of the courses being offered. So, you know, we really give you the most bang for your buck to attend, and you get to spend your time in person with all these great people and network, meet new friends. Let's talk a little bit about the different fun things going on at the conference. Have any of you attended the Friday night stage shows?
Oh, yes.
So this year we're doing it a little different. We're going to have one stage hypnotist, but we're also going to have a comedian opening for the stage hypnotist. So that'll be new this year. We're really looking forward to that. It's a Boston-based comedian that's going to be before our stage hypnosis show. So that'll be fun on Friday night. And then, of course, on Saturday, we have the annual awards banquet. And we do the awards. We are having a little bit different type of dinner this year. It's not going to be the standard. And I think everybody will be a little excited about that.
No Thanksgiving dinner?
No Thanksgiving dinner this year. We are keeping it a bird, though. So chicken's on the plate. But it's going to be something different. We've decided to change it up a bit. And it sounds like the chef and our convention coordinator, Lydia, have put together a very good menu for us. So looking forward to that. And then we have, after the awards banquet, we always have different types of entertainment. We have a selfie station. We have a character artist and, of course, our DJ and dancing throughout the evening. And we also have, you know, sometimes I've seen Eric and tear up that dance floor. And we also have, you know, different live things going on as well. And we'll expand more as we get closer to the convention, but we're really excited, looking forward to seeing everybody. I'm going to take a look here and see if we have any different questions. We have some people commenting on the replay. The replay is gold, and networking is one of the best things to be there. Also, the Christian Scoresmith does mention conversations over breakfast. If anybody books their room at the in the NGH host hotel. The Royal Plaza breakfast is included in your hotel stay, so that's a pretty awesome as well. And we are looking for the virtual replay. We are looking at right now about 3 weeks, but we'll determine if people need more time for that, or if 3 weeks virtual replay is good for that. And Christian Scoresmith also mentions there will be a clergy special interest group on Friday. It's a open reception to anybody. More information will be coming out about that. And Deborah Faithrose, our friend from Alaska, she says, thank you for your time to educate us every month. I do miss attending convention every year. When she did, she lived in Texas. It's a bit more, a little harder to travel from Alaska. And but plans to attend are in the works. And Deborah, we hope to see you at the next year's convention, if you can, for the 75th NGH anniversary. As you know, the NGH was founded in 1950, and next year, 2025, will be our 75th anniversary of the National Guild. So we are going to go all out and have a very big celebration with our friends at convention. So looking forward to that.
Well, I think we should get a flash mob going.
Good idea, Debbie.
Erica will lead the dance. We'll do a flash dance.
Contact Debbie Livingston for a flash mob.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you there, and seeing our friends, you know, in just a few short weeks. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing your thoughts and knowledge, and you know, your love, and sharing your techniques at this year's conference and in your presentations. We look forward to it. And this will be us signing off. Thank you very much,
Thank everybody.
Godspeed, everybody.
Good night. Next week.
Have a wonderful evening.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, NGHpodcast@ngh.net.